96.9 Boston Talks is your talk.
Oh, you're jamming me. Nag, 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 nag. It's more common than adultery and potentially as toxic. So says the Wall Street Journal. And we are going to be talking to Dr. Karen Ruskin in just about 15 minutes, a little less than 15 minutes. So hang in there for some tips on how to handle the nagger in your life. 617-822-1969. Dial up the Doug Meehan Show here on 96.9 Boston Talks. I want to know what you nag about or what you get nagged about. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I put that question on the Doug Meehan Show Facebook page. Heidi Marie Kelly, perhaps one of the funniest postings I've read in a while. This one says, oh, Dougie, have you gone insane? First topic out of the door on a Monday, nagging, all capital letters. Bless you, my friend. You're going to have the lines ringing off the hook so you have the pleasure of conversing with every bitchy woman in New England. Not my words. Let's go to Beth in Wrentham. Beth, are you the receiver or the giver when it comes to nagging?
Good morning, Dougie. I've known you for a long time from Fox and so on and so forth, and always enjoyed you on the TV or radio.
I hope you're enjoying this topic.
Yes, I'm not a nag in the respect of nasty nagging. I'm just a doer. I'm organized, and I just don't understand why everybody doesn't want to be a team, you know, effort out there.
When does a doer become a nagger?
When you get the glazed over look from either one of my teenage boys or now my boyfriend, and then all of a sudden everybody shuts down.
And why is that, Beth?
Well, because I think they think the little things are over the top with me, where I just think if everybody was organized, life would be a lot smoother.
Do you ever think of looking from their point of view, perhaps?
I am certainly trying now, because I find myself shutting down because nobody looks enthused. So now I'm realizing that I'm now retracting, but I'm trying not to be resentful that nobody wants to be a team effort. And that's where I'm interested in listening to this gal that's coming on.
Yeah, Dr. Karen's going to be here at 10:35. She's going to have a few tips for us. And I think some of them might be like managing your expectations, explain why the request is important to you.
Yes.
All right.
And also, too, I like to have fun. So I like to organize social things.
Yeah.
But my boyfriend's not a social animal, so he looks at me like that's the worst thing I want to do is go to a Super Bowl party or where I would like to be with other people and have fun. So.
Oh, hell, leave him at home. Go out and have a good time, Beth. Enjoy your parties. Hey, Beth, thanks a lot for calling, and thanks for listening to the show. Hang in there. Dr. Karen's on the way. Lynn is in Sudbury. Lynn, is nagging an issue in your relationship?
Not an issue at all, Doug. We've been married 26 years. I have three sons.
Good for
My husband
you.
And I have three sons. I learned a long time ago. I got some advice years and years ago. If it's not going to matter in 10 years, let it go.
Wow! And well I've done. Lived, well done. Excellent.
I've lived by that. If it's not going to matter, I let it go. And here's how I don't nag, especially my kids.
Let me ask you this first, Lynn. Were you a nagger earlier on in your life?
You know, my husband's a type A personality. I'm really a type B, so I'm really laid back.
So is he the nagger?
No, he doesn't nag either.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But I have to, you know, be honest, and no offense intended. Men are sort of procrastinators. So
we get to it when we're good and ready.
Yeah, exactly.
So why is that a bad thing, though, Lynn?
It's not a bad thing. Here's how I learned to manage it with my kids.
Yes.
We have three sons. And I did nag them because they could be really messy and leave things around and get things to their own time.
Isn't that
and
what
I
kids
nag
do?
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but now what I've done is I make a list every day. Each kid has a list, and it has to get done before I come home from work. I don't care when they do it.
As long as it's done.
As long as it's done before I get home, they check it off, they do it at their own pace, and everybody's happy.
It gives them a little bit of the power.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go. I don't have to nag, can get it done, and they can do it when they want to. I don't have to do it 5 minutes before I get home.
Hey, Lynn, this could be the reason why you're pushing 30 years of marriage. This is a good thing. I hope the ladies and men are listening. Lynn, thanks a lot for the call. Really appreciate it. Paul's in Worcester. Paul, do you get the wife in the ear all the time?
I used to get nagged all the time about dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
But I found a way to fix that.
You got a dishwasher?
No, you throw them in the trash, and then she'll do the dishes herself, and it ended it.
So the wife is nagging you on the dishes, and you say, I've got a response to this. You throw them in the trash.
Yep. I got them out of the sink, and then I don't hear about the dishes in the sink anymore. Now, I had to do it twice.
How's that relationship going for you, Paul? You still with her?
I'm still with her. Yeah. I've been together for 5 years now, and, you know, I don't hear about the dishes.
Now, has she picked up other things to nag you about?
No, because it'll just end up with a similar outcome.
So she realizes the response she's going to get.
Yes. It's just going to happen this way.
I love it, Paul. Thanks a lot for your call. I don't know if I'd recommend that to everybody. I'm going to ask Dr. Karen in a second if that's the best way to handle it. 617-822-1969. We're talking about the marriage killer of nagging, the relationship killer of nagging. It can bust up a marriage or relationship more than infidelity, more than battles over money. How many guys or ladies out there that have heard by their boyfriends or their husbands, don't nag me. You make me feel like you're my mother telling me to do things. How often do you hear that? It's a big complaint out there. Is it that the nagger in your life feels the need to manage you? All part of this great article in the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Karen's going to be here to help you out. Let's get out to Donna. She's in Wakefield. Donna, the nagger or the naggy? Who are you?
Neither, actually. Neither one of us nag. But when you told an earlier caller that her approach might be the problem, it really got me because why do we have to treat men like pansies? They should know what has to be done.
Well, see, there you go. I mean, what happens, though, and this is only a guess, soon as the guy feels as though he's being told to do something, he will shut it down, as opposed to maybe a friendly suggestion. Isn't that how we interact?
Are they 2 years old? A friendly suggestion. I know what needs to be done.
I know, but maybe
and end up doing most of it.
Maybe they'll. Why not? Maybe they'll. Though the moment that they feel as though they are being told to do something, that makes them feel like the two-year-old child being told what to do by their mother, and then the resistance and the walls go up.
But I think they would not need to be told what to do if they took the initiative to just do what needs to get done. I mean, you can't see things on the floor, you know, dishes in the sink, whatever it may be.
Yeah, but that's one person's perspective on when it needs to be done, right? That's one person saying, this needs to be done right now, where the other person says, it doesn't need to be done right now, we'll get to it. And so therein lies the dynamic of one person seeing something one way, the other person seeing it the other way. The nagging starts, the walls get built, and now all of a sudden you got a crumbling marriage. Donna, you sure you're not a nagger?
No.
Come on now. Help.
I'm an eye roller.
Well, okay. The eyes roll back and you just go back. You just do it yourself, right?
Just do it myself.
Now,
exactly.
Listen, when you do that, though, is resentment built in?
Sure.
And that can't be healthy.
Yeah, but it's not healthy to just do everything yourself either.
That's right.
And after a while, you want someone to stop using your brain to remember everything. Use your own brain.
That's right. Well, Donna, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
I'm convinced, Donna, even though you say you're not, I'm thinking there's a little bit there in you. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Appreciate it. Mark is in North Andover. Mark, what do you think?
I'm a nagger, and I need help.
You're a nagger. You know what, Mark? The first step is to admit the fact that you're a nagger.
I got to tell you something. Yeah. I didn't know it was such a big problem until I heard these other people who sound like me, and I'm ashamed of it.
I love it, Mark. Now, tell me what it is and why you nag.
I called my wife. I have her listening to the radio right now. I need to apologize to her first for being like this. But it is what you say. It's one person thinking something has to be done now.
Yes.
Because if I disappeared and fell off the planet, my wife would wake up, the kids would be fed, they'd go to school, everything would get... It's not like she would just 3 days from now realize she hadn't showered, do you know what I mean?
It would get done. It would get done. Do you feel...
It would get done.
Mark, do you feel the overall need to manage the situation? Are you kind of a control freak?
Well, I own a couple of businesses, and I'm used to managing employees. And you can't take that approach to your marriage, but I wouldn't say the control freak, but everybody else around me would, so maybe I am, you know what I mean?
All right, well, I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm going to take one more call. Don't get off radio, because Dr. Karen is standing by to help you out. One quick call before we get to Dr. Karen. Melissa's in Stoughton. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, Doug. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure. Not a nag at all. Go right ahead.
Actually, I don't nag. I have 4 stepchildren that are young adults and a husband. And whenever no one would help me with anything, I would just go on strike.
Ah, well, very good.
So I would just, no dishes, no dinner, no laundry. And they would let that pile up for, 4 or 5 days. And then they would turn around and ask, what's wrong?
Would they end up doing it?
Yeah.
See, there you go. And does it get done?
Exactly.
Either you
help me or it doesn't get done. And so there was no eye rolling. There was no nagging. It was just a fact.
Either
help me out or, get out.
See, it was an issue of power, and you just relinquished the power, and somebody else said, oh, man, something must be wrong because the stuff that's not normally done and nobody's telling me to do it, then, boo, maybe it needs to be done. Melissa, thank you very much for your call. Really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the professional. There are people all over New England that are standing by looking for help when it comes to nagging. Dr. Karen Ruskin, you are our friend and our savior. Thank you for calling.
My pleasure. Anytime.
So you got?
Are you a nagger?
No, I am not. I don't believe that I am. I might be, in a sense that I might like to give suggestions once in a while, and I don't know if that's considered nagging. But you've been on national television this weekend speaking about this subject. Tell us why it can be the marriage killer, and why is it so toxic?
Well, this is what's so interesting. When I went on national TV this weekend, my stance was and is, and I will share with you and your wonderful listeners, that my belief, it's not nagging in and of itself that's the marriage killer, which is what's being reported. My take is the actual killer is the communication relationship pattern between the husband and the wife. If we just blame one person, the person who is requesting, I like to call the person the requester rather than the nagger, mm-hmm. versus the requestee, then we're putting all the blame on one. It's really the pattern, the dynamic between two people. That's
so
the
problem. It's a symptom of the inability to communicate clearly and effectively without taking offense.
Yes, I like how you worded it. It's a symptom between the two parties. And when we say symptom, it's the word we're labeling as the symptom. We're using the term nag, but again, it's simply just a request. Remember when I just asked you a moment ago, are you a nagger? And what did you say? You said, I don't think I'm a nagger. I'm just, how did you word it? I'm just,
I like to suggest things at times.
Suggest. And you know what? If the significant people in your life view it as a suggestion, then it's not considered nagging, and the dynamic between two parties is healthy rather than
yes.
it being viewed is nagging.
Then why is it that some people can see suggesting or suggestions as nagging? And what is it about the receiving of the message that gets turned around as, oh, they're in my ear nagging me all the time, so I'm going to shut down?
Right. Well, the way I tend to see it when it comes to the marital relationship, the reason why often the other person sees it as nagging is because most commonly the person who views it as the nagger, quite frankly, this may seem provocative, but I'm straight talk. I'll
sure.
tell you like it is. Usually it's the husband stating that the wife is nagging. And my theory on that is because when man and woman come together to get married, the fact is women are really just trying to manage the business
mm-hmm.
of home.
Mm-hmm.
And a successful manager is able to give tasks to their quote-unquote employees. The problem is, men did not get married thinking they were going to be managed and become an employee. They
Thank
didn't
you.
Accept that job position.
Thank you. Yes, that's absolutely. You're preaching to the choir, Dr. Karen. Now, why is it, though, and we'll just use this in general terms, because I'm sure that there are men that can be managers as well, but statistically, I think it'll be proven that the woman will be more likely the manager of the household when it comes to issues like that. Why is it? Why is it that the woman feels as though she needs to manage, and why is it that the man says, I don't need to be managed. I did quite well by myself beforehand.
this goes back to long ago. Women are considered the managers of the home. We just didn't call it that long ago, and men were considered the managers outside of the home. And although time has gone and women work outside of the home, as do men, and men take care of responsibilities now in the home, the women's expectations are that men are going to take care of more and more and more responsibilities in the home, because women are not just the home managers. It's not just their responsibility to take care of the home and the men take care of outside of the home. So the fact that the roles have merged over time, it's become confusing for what's the job description for a woman to give to her man if he is not considered an employee, so to speak, in the home. Who is she supposed to ask for help? Just herself? So it's a little confusing for women, and it's confusing for men. And I think we're in a true relationship generation of shifting, trying to navigate and figure out how men and women can live together when the roles have become so truly blurred.
So this, going back to the madman days, isn't too bad of a thing. We're talking to Dr. Karen Ruskin. She's a relationship expert here on the Doug Meehan Show. Dr. Karen, is there a, before we get into some tips to help people through this, is there a specific personality dynamic, meaning an individual, are they extremely organized? Are they obsessed? Are they anxious? Is this person more likely to be a nagger?
Okay, well, once again, I like to refer to it as a requester instead of a nagger.
Okay, all right, okay.
And with that question, is there somebody more likely to be a requester? Absolutely, yes. Somebody who is organized, who is more of a controlling person, and or somebody who has anxiety. And if we're going in extremism, of course, obsessive-compulsive disorder, that would lead to the need to keep things very highly organized and management as well. But anxiety, control, and organized are definitely three character traits that would lead to somebody to be requesting in a way in which makes the other person feel like they're quote-unquote nagging, especially if the other person in the relationship is more of a laid-back type. That dynamic between two people leads to the communication circular pattern that leads the recipients of the suggestions to feel like they're being nagged.
And so, you okay there?
Oh, yes,
what's that, a bird?
That was a lovely alarm in the background.
Okay, it's almost time for you to go. I know. So
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm okay. Take your time.
Okay.
It's all good.
So if there are people out there that are listening to this and they are dealing with either the nagging spouse, the husband or wife, quick couple of tips so in a minute they can say, okay, this is how I can manage it when I go home.
I love that. Thank you for asking. You know I love offering solutions. So let me give a few tips. One tip, let's call it ABO. It stands for acknowledgement and both take ownership, ABO. If you acknowledge the marital communication relationship dynamic is the problem, not that the nagger, the requester is the problem or the person who's not doing is the problem, then by acknowledging it's a team problem, both people acknowledging that, then you can work as a team towards a solution. That is the number one most important. But any tip you get out of this entire conversation, that is the key. Okay, here's another one. Ready? Number two, Operation Appreciation. In the morning, tell yourself and your spouse what you appreciate about them before you even start your day. Tell yourself, tell your spouse, and before you go to bed, tell yourself and tell your spouse. It's reminding you, hey, this is somebody I appreciate. They do great things, and telling them makes them feel appreciated. It's positive feedback. Okay, technique number three. Technique number three.
And this is where we'll wrap it up. Go ahead.
Okay, I do for you and for us, meaning every single day have mindful awareness of what you can do for your spouse and make sure to implement it. And this goes both ways. That way both people are taking action each day being a marital team.
I love it. Dr. Karen, your ABO makes me A-OK. I am thankful for your tips. And, you know, anytime you can quote a Bryan Adams song, everything I do for us, is a good thing. Dr. Karen, I can't thank you enough for such short notice. This has been a topic that a lot of people have been like, whoo, I can't wait to talk about. And hopefully you've helped a few folks out.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on a really great topic. Have a wonderful day, Doug.
You too. And I don't feel nagged about that in the least bit.
Oh, wonderful.
Dr. Karen, boys and girls, Dr. Karen Ruskin, our relationship expert here on the Doug Meehan Show. When we come back, we're going down to Florida, one day away before Floridians vote in the GOP primary. It is a winner-take-all. What is happening and what you should know and keep an eye on. We're live in Florida next. I'm Doug Meehan. This is the Doug Meehan Show.
96.9 Boston Talks is your talk.